morning meeting of Hymnbill Grace Fellowship. And we're going to sing some hymns and some psalms. And then Mark is going to be reading some scripture for us this morning. Mark Phillips. Mark Kennedy isn't here. Michael Smith isn't here. Louise Greaves isn't here. Edward Henry isn't here. Carl Roberts isn't here. Babs Roberts isn't here. Kevin McHugh isn't here. Chris Dernerin isn't here. Walt Stickle isn't here. Need I go on and on and on? But Larry Rosette and Mark are here. So Mark, we're going to sing some songs. And
chapter 15.
No, we're going to wait to do that after we sing the song.
Okay,
the first hymn we're going to sing is
Aaron Barn, O God.
291.
Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to Thee. Wash Thou my wayward feet. Guide me with counsel sweet, pure in heart, help me to be. Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. Teach me to do Thy will, most lovingly. Be Thou my friend and guide. Let me with Thee abide, pure in heart, help me to be. Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. That I Thy holy face one day may see, keep me from secret sin. Reign Thou my soul within. Pure in heart, help me to be.
Well, let's sing 291. Come all ye chosen saints of God, whose souls are washed in Jesus' blood. Hear what he says, his word is true, my grace sufficient is for you. I am your sure almighty friend who lovingly loves you to the end. I will be near you and will know my grace sufficient is for you. I know how numerous are your foes. I know the ways which they oppose. I know their cunning malice too. My grace sufficient is for you. Though Satan tries your souls to ensnare, you're still the objects of my care. You're near my heart, I'll bring you through. My grace sufficient is for you. Do you want proof of this, my love? Calvary survey, then heaven above. See how the ransom millions do? My grace sufficient is for you. I'll guide you safely in the way through life's dark night to heaven's bright day. And there with wonders you shall view. My grace sufficient is for you.
Come, all ye chosen saints of God, whose souls are washed in Jesus' blood. Hear what he says, his word is true. My grace sufficient is for you. I am your sure almighty friend, who lovingly loves you to the end. I will be near you and will show my grace sufficient is for you. I know how numerous are your foes. I know the ways which they oppose. I know their cunning malice too. My grace sufficient is for you. Though Satan tries your souls to ensnare, you're still the objects of my care. You're near my heart, I'll bring you through. My grace sufficient is for you. Do you want proof of this, my love? Calvary surveyed in heaven above. See how the ransom millions do. My grace sufficient is for you. I'll guide you safely in the way through life's dark night to heaven's bright day. And there with wonder you shall view my grace sufficient for you.
Okay, well, does anybody have another selection?
Two twenty.
Glorious things of thee are spoken,
Zion city of our God.
Earthy broken, formed thee for his own abode.
On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation once surrounded, thou must smile at all thy foes.
See the streams of living waters
springing from eternal love. Well supply thy sons and daughters, and all fear of want remove.
Blessed inhabitants of Zion, washed in the Redeemer's blood,
Jesus, whom their souls rely on, makes them kings and priests to God. Round each habitation hungry, see the cloud and fire appear. For glory and the covering, showing that the Lord is near.
Thus he riding from their banner, light by night and shade by day,
feed upon the manna, which he gives them when they pray. Savior, if of Zion city I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name.
Fading is a worldling's pleasure, all his boast, pomp, and show.
Solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know.
Well, let's sing 388. 388.
Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark, 'tis the voice of angels, born in a song to me. Over the fields of glory, over the jasper sea, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe from growing care, safe from the world's temptations, sin cannot harm me there. Free from the blight of sorrow, free from my doubts and fear. Only a few more trials, only a few more tears. Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me. firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. Here let me wait with patience, wait till the night is o'er, wait till I see the morning break on the golden shore. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest.
Well,
When sorrows encompass me round, and many distresses I see, astonished I cry, can a mortal be found surrounded with troubles like me? Few seasons of peace I enjoy, and they are succeeded by pain. If e'er a few moments of praise I employ, I have hours and days to complain. Oh, when will my sorrow subside? Oh, when will my suffering cease? Oh, when to the bosom of Christ be conveyed in mansions of glory and bliss? May I be prepared for that day when Jesus shall bid me remove, that I may in rapture go shouting away to the arms of my heavenly love. My spirit to glory conveyed, my body lay low in the ground. I wish not a tear at my grave to be shed, let all join in shouting around.
Well, let's sing 169.
Who flung the stars out into space and holds them in their proper place? Who, like a curtain, stretched the sky to make a place for birds to fly? Who sends the wind and sun and rain to nourish fields of golden grain? Who forms the seed that makes the wheat and gives us daily bread to eat? Who in the winter sends the snow? Oh, tell me you, if you should know. Who has designed each lovely flake? What wondrous power did it take? He made the never-ending sea. Who formed the grass, the vine, the tree? Who made the cattle on the hills and creeping things in rocks and rills? Who holds all things within his hands? Who owns all houses, fields, and lands? Who keeps our souls each passing hour? No man has this almighty power. It is the Lord and he alone. Man has no glory of his own. We have no goodness we can claim, so let us publish his great name. He takes a sinner, vain and wild, and makes him as a little child. Subdues his will and guides his feet, and draws him to the mercy seat. Let all creation lift his voice, and in the Lord let us rejoice. Let all his works praise and confess the glory of his righteousness.
Okay, we're going to sing a psalm. It's page 46, psalm 92C.
It's good to thank the Lord.
It's good to thank the Lord, to praise His name most high, to show your love at dawn, your faithfulness all night. The ten-stringed lyre, with sweet voice lit and rippling harp, your praise inspire. Your deeds, Lord, made me glad. My joy in what you've done. How great your doings, Lord, how deep your thoughts, each one. Fools won't be shown. The stupid can accept this truth to them unknown. The sinners grow like weeds, all doers blossom may. They're doomed to be destroyed, you, Lord, exalted, say. Lord, your foes fall. See how your foes bring evil, men are scattered all. You raise like ox my horn, pour fresh oil on my head. You made me see the spies and hear what plotters said. By thriving palm, the righteous grows like cedars tall on Lebanon. Those planted by the Lord shall in God's course be seen. When all the still bear fruit and flourish fresh and green, and loud proclaim how upright is the Lord, my rock, no wrong in Him. Okay, Mark, before he reads his scripture, he's going to read a passage out of Proverbs. I want to thank Louise Dreeves for sending me this book, The History of the Church of God from the Creation to AD 1885. Thank you, Louise. I appreciate that. It's a very good history, of course, by Cushing Biggs Hassel. The History of the Church of God from the Creation to AD 1885. Thank you, Louise Dreeves. There is a lot in this book, this history, and I want to just read some excerpts from it today. I think you'll find it interesting. You may not like it. It may rub you the wrong way. History has a way of rubbing us the wrong way sometimes, just like God's Word has a way of rubbing us the wrong way. The church of the first century, this is called the characteristics of the apostolic church. The church of the first century was a spiritual kingdom set up in the world by the Son of God in fulfillment of the Jewish economy in opposition to all other religions of earth. It pervaded portions of every province of the Roman Empire. Christianity came down from heaven as a supernatural fact. The church of the first century forms the standard and example for the church of all future ages. There's a lot of people that deny that fact, that the church of the first century forms a standard and example for all future ages. You know, they try to say it's a Greek model. They try to deny all kind of things in the Word of God. That's very clear that He has His pastors, He has His elders, He has His bishops. There's people that try to come against that, say it's a Greek model. No, it's not. It's Christ's church. It's His model. and it forms the standard example for the church for all future ages. And so if you meet anyone who tries to uphold a different position in the New Testament church, they're wrong. Okay, they're wrong. The New Testament church chose to obey God rather than man. The Jewish and heathen doctrine of salvation by human works they utterly eschewed, while they heartily embraced as their only hope the Christian and Bible doctrine of a free and full salvation by the sovereign and unmerited grace of God. In other words, this first and chief mark of the apostolic church was a regenerated or converted membership who had been born of the Spirit of God. They were elect vessels of mercy. They were a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. A peculiar people. That they should show forth the praises of him who had called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. This excludes this excludes infant baptism. Bible Baptists have always believed that all children who die in infancy are regenerated by the almighty grace of God and go directly home to the loving arms of Jesus. They don't need water put on their heads, okay? They don't need sponsors. Jesus Christ is the one who quickens infants who die in infancy. I'm taking this directly from Hassell's history. There is no proof that there were any infants in any of those families that were baptized. And we know by apostolic commission that it did not authorize their baptism. Infants were excluded from such baptism. The rite of a child to circumcision did not depend upon the faith of the parents. No sponsors were required in circumcision. The apostles, neither the council at Jerusalem nor any other occasion, manifest any knowledge of the substitution of baptism for circumcision. This horrid Catholic dogma, surpassing in monstrosity nearly all the errors of heretical sects, has been well denominated. The entering wedge of tradition, which, if driven home, will split Protestantisms into fragments. In the words of the two languages of Germany, distinguished Paedo-Baptist scholars all attempt to make out infant baptism from the New Testament fail. It utterly opposed to the spirit of the apostolic age and to the fundamental principles of the New Testament. It cannot on any point of view be justified by the Holy Scriptures. The Romanists and the Romanizing Protestants also based their changes from immersion to sprinkling not on an altered view of the original form of the rite, but on the authority of the church to alter rites and ceremonies. God is unchangeable. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his ordinances, like those in nature, are unchangeable. Jesus Christ was baptized as an adult, not an infant, and he went down into the water. John the Baptist did not sprinkle water on his head. Christ, after being baptized, came straightway out of the water, Matthew 3:16, Mark 1:10. So the eunuch who had gone down into the water came out of the water, Acts 8:38 and 39. Along each one of these roads from Jerusalem, travelers tell us there are occasionally streams of pools or fountains containing amply enough water for immersion.
They had to pop it on there.
Don't worry about it. They can't see it. Not a problem. Pop-ups on the computer. Okay, now we've got some other ones I want to read. The apostolic churches became composed of Bible Baptists. And now they want to talk about, they get into the fact that the Protestants held on to a communion service that was very close to the Mass. It was a symbolic, and it was supposed to be a symbolic and grateful commemoration of our adorable Redeemer who laid down his precious life for us and to remember his atonement for us, a symbol of church fellowship and a prophecy of the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven, Matthew 26:29 and Revelation 19:9. The Lord's Supper is nowhere in the scriptures called a sacrament or seal of salvation or an effective means of grace, nor do the scriptures teach the gross material Catholic doctrine that the bread and wine became the veritable body and blood of Christ, or the almost equally gross Lutheran doctrine that the real body of Christ is in with and under the bread and wine, co-substantiation. The monstrous papal doctrine of the Mass is not only a contradiction of our senses and reason, but a contradiction of our faith, which assures us that the offering of the body of Christ was made once for all by that one offering, forever perfecting them that are sanctified, and that he glorified humanity in seating down at the right hand of the Father. Well, I just wanted to read some portions of that. And we're going to see later on in this history that it will go into how that these Baptists who held to these apostolic doctrines were persecuted and killed by not only the Roman Church, but also the Protestants, like Zwingli. And Luther and Calvin advocated that they be banished, the Anabaptists be banished. I'm not going to get into that this morning. We'll get into that later. But if you want to find out the truth, this is a very well-documented history of the Church of God from creation to AD 1885. Now I'm going to turn it over to Mark, and he's going to read us the 15th chapter of Proverbs?
Yes.
Okay.
A soft answer turneth away wrath. The grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hail and destruction are before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of men. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stall of ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. The way of the slothful man is as a hedge with thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but the multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the wicked. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth the gifts shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth the answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility.
Well, thank you, Mark. Now, we're going to conclude today's service with a hymn from the Old School Hymnal, page 54, Rock of Ages, by Augustus M. Toplady.
What?
Page 54. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand the price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Well, I'm glad that I don't have to have Pastor Gail Riplinger or Joyce Meyer or Elizabeth Elliott for Juanita Bynum. I'm glad that I don't have to rely upon them for the truth. I'm glad that, you know, the feminization of the culture even takes place within people like Gail Ripplinger, going all over the United States, doing her conferences in mixed audiences, talking about what is the proper version of the Bible to use. I don't need Gail Ripplinger, okay? All right, well, that's all I have to say today. May the good Lord be with you and strengthen you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. God bless.